Man, I'll just give you a quick rundown of what the calendar looks like between now and January the 15th. So basically a month. Next Wednesday, December the 18th, Miranda will be sharing. And December the 25th and January the 1st will be Wednesdays, and we won't meet on Christmas evening or New Year's Eve or New Year's Day evening. Then January the 8th, James Peavy will come, and he will share. They will be going back in March, so James will be here to share on January the 8th. And we'll pick it back up with the Kingdom and the Covenants, if the Lord hasn't returned by then, on January the 15th, 2020. So you'll be able to see clearly next year. You got it? Good. Only those with spiritual sight can get those type of deep theological references. So that's kind of where we are and where we're headed. So hopefully that will help you in your planning. Also thrown in there is December the 24th, which is a Tuesday, Christmas Eve, and we'll have our candlelight service. And we have some special things planned for that evening as well. So tonight we'll look at finalize the kingdom of God in prehistory or pre-man. And last week we ended with the characteristics of Satan's kingdom as it relates to the lawlessness, rebellion, darkness, deception, and ungodliness. And I went through pretty much 2 Thessalonians 2 through 10 and explained what that will look like. And then Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, in which, that was before we were believers, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. So basically this whole section that we've covered in three parts, the kingdom of God in prehistory or pre-man, was talking about before the angels were created, all of the elements necessary for a kingdom were in place with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the Trinity. Then as the angels were created, they became subjects of that kingdom. And then Satan, in his fall, convinced some of the angels to follow him, we believe a third, if we have correctly interpreted Revelation, where a third of the stars were swept away by his tail. And we've looked at the characteristics of this counterfeit kingdom that Satan has developed from the time of his fall, and when sin and evil entered into the world. Interesting that in Adam and Eve, the theocracy that God developed through Adam with only one rule to obey, that they were both created as members of God's kingdom. They were automatically, since they were created without a sin nature, they were automatically created as members of God's kingdom. They got transferred from God's kingdom into this false kingdom when they disobeyed God, and they died spiritually. And they became a member of Satan's kingdom. You may miss that in your reading of these notes and things like that, but that's an important concept to understand, because what takes place is that all of the descendants of Adam and Eve are going to inherit a sin nature, and they are conceived, therefore born, as members of Satan's kingdom because of Ephesians chapter 2, talking about us being spiritually dead, born with that inherited sin nature. So every person that has ever been born is born with a sin nature except Jesus Christ. That's the significance of the virgin birth. God bypassed the sin nature that has passed from the seed of man in the birth of Jesus Christ, the unique God-man, in that he is not only a member of God's kingdom, he is the king of God's kingdom. So now, the realm of Satan's kingdom exists in the realm of the heavenlies in the same way or the same realm of God's kingdom. And now we know how the eternal kingdom of God existed before time began in eternity past, and it goes on forever. It's an eternal kingdom. Satan's kingdom had a beginning, and it has an end as a counterfeit kingdom. Some will teach, and incorrectly, I believe, that God's kingdom didn't begin until Adam and Eve were created, or Adam was created. And I think it's important to realize that God's kingdom is an eternal kingdom, and that all of the aspects were there before anything was created. Now, Ephesians 6:12, which was kind of a proof text for our study of angels, also tells us about how these two kingdoms in conflict flesh out, so to speak, and where the struggle is in these two kingdoms in conflict. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So in summary, what we have looked at in this whole section that took us 3 weeks to get through, and you may think, well, why does it take 3 weeks? Well, one is I like to explain things in detail, and two is all these lessons were written for an hour and 15-minute session, not 30 or 40-minute sessions. And so I'm in no hurry to get through it. I'm in no hurry for us to take the amount of time it takes for us to learn it, digest it, and own it. So therefore, we see that the Bible reveals two kingdoms existing in the realm of the heavenlies. The first is the kingdom of the God of heaven, with the unfallen angels as its subject. And prior to that, obviously, we've talked about the Trinity. While the second is the kingdom of Satan, with the fall of the angels as its subjects. The two are in absolute opposition to each other, and at no point will there be any agreement between the two. They are diametrically opposed to one another. Sounds a lot like what's going on in Washington. You got two sides that I don't think there's ever going to be any agreement between the two sides. While God's kingdom is as timeless as God himself, Satan's kingdom had as its, I don't know if yours has an S on there or not, beginning with Satan's rebellion. Thus, the two kingdoms are not to be misconstrued as coexistent from eternity past. While good existed eternally because God is good, evil was introduced by Satan's rebellion against the kingdom of God. Although God passed judgment on the false ruler of his false kingdom, Luke 10:18, and its ultimate subjugation to God is certain, Philippians 2:10, that subjugation has not yet been exercised. It's been realized, but not exercised. Now, it may not be realized from our standpoint, but it has been realized from God's standpoint. Therefore, two kingdoms coexist in the heavenly realm, or the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Satan. So what we've learned so far in, I think, four or five lessons now, we've looked at the essential elements to a kingdom. That is, there has to be a right to rule. There has to be authority. There has to be a realm of rule. It has to be subjects to be subjected to that authority. And there has to be the reality of a rule. The authority has to be exercised over the subjects or power. Then we saw the aspects of God's kingdom. One is it's timeless. That's different than Satan's kingdom. God's one of the aspects of God's kingdom is it's eternal. Eternity past, before time began, and eternity future, no end. It is universal. That doesn't mean that universalism as it relates to salvation, but everything is subject to God. God is ruler over all. Everything is subjected to Him and His kingdom. They may not be members of the kingdom, but they are under His universal rule, even nature. Somebody was telling me the other day that they had been listening to Adrian Rogers, and they asked me, they said, do you know who Adrian Rogers is? I said, absolutely I know who Adrian Rogers is. And they said, yeah, I listened to him on the radio. I said, well, yeah, he still speaks as even from the grave because he's dead. And I said, I had the good pleasure of hearing Adrian Rogers at Moody Bible Institute, which was held at Moody Memorial Church. Erwin Lutzer was the pastor. He's since retired. They had a pastor's conference up there, and I was there, and Adrian Rogers spoke. And I still remember what he spoke on, and he had a voice that all pastors would probably love to have. But I still remember, and I've shared it with you before, that he was talking about the greatness of God, and he talked about nature and God ruling over everything. And he said, do you realize not a blade of grass moves on the face of the earth without God giving it permission and or knowing it? And I never forgot it. I mean, that's one of those things. Is like somebody putting a rivet, theological rivet, in your brain or in your soul, that you go, you know, that's true. And that's amazingly true. So, everything is subjected to God's rule. It's universal. It is providential. God uses administrators and others to carry out His kingdom, theocracy. He gave Adam the right to rule. He ruled through the patriarchs. He ruled through kings and judges. He's ruled through Jesus when He was on the earth. He rules. He's ruled through the Holy Spirit as He resides in believers. He rules through the church here on the earth. And the leaders that He appoints, the elders and deacons and pastor teachers through the church. And He will rule in the tribulation period through believers and through the 144,000 Jews that He seals with the Holy Spirit. Another aspect of the kingdom of God is it is miraculous. God supernaturally oversees His kingdom. All that stuff's going on in Washington, and I've been following it because I'm kind of fascinated I don't know, fascinated might be too big of a word to give to those clowns up there without a tent. I'm actually preaching this Sunday on the enemy of faith. Anybody want to know what that is? What's the enemy of faith? The Sermon on the Mount, the next section. Worry. Don't worry about what's going on in Washington. Pray. We're told and commanded to pray, but don't worry about it. You know why? God supernaturally oversees His kingdom. I've had people say, do you think Donald Trump's going to get impeached? He's probably going to get impeached. Now, whether he's going to get kicked out of office is another deal, you know, or voted out or whatever they can do. I don't know. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I said, listen, whatever happens tomorrow, and I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow because I don't know what's going to happen the next second. But tomorrow morning when you wake up, no matter what happens in Russia, Ukraine, or Washington, D.C., don't ever forget this. God's on the throne. He's on the throne. That's all you need to know. And He is miraculously and supernaturally overseeing His kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God in prehistory or pre-man, what we have seen is the kingdom administration of angels, the angelic opposition to the kingdom, the rebellion of Satan, the establishment of Satan's kingdom, which was allowed by God. Was allowed by God. All right, so that ought to give you enough lighter wood between now and January the 15th to keep your fires going. So, any questions about what we've covered so far? This would be a good study to have quizzes every now and then, you know, like pop quizzes, right? I didn't get a first or a second on that, did I? So, all right. Well, next Wednesday night, we have the privilege of having one of our own homegrown missionaries come and share with us. And I know of three people sitting right there that are ready for December the 12th to get here. About 7:30 is when she's coming in. So be praying that she gets here safely. All right? Y'all have a good evening. Thank you.